Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We have here, of course, a very familiar portion of Scripture. A portion of Scripture which contains what is known or called the Lord's Prayer. And as we've already stated, as we continue the study in the prayer life of Christ, I would like us to consider what the Lord had to say about prayer. But I want this morning to consider the first verse, the words of verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Whether or not the Savior, when he was in this certain place, was there praying alone, or he was praying in the midst of his disciples, we're not exactly told. But I tend to think that the disciples came upon this certain place, and there they found the Lord Jesus in prayer, not wanting to disturb him. They stood waiting until he was finished praying. Then one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. What the Savior was praying about, we're not told. What he was praying for, we are not told. But certainly one of the disciples was so stirred up in his heart, so impressed by the praying of Christ and by what he heard, that he wanted to know more about what it was to pray. The praying of Christ inspired him to pursue this matter further. And so he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever been stirred, as you've read perhaps the biography of some great man of God, stirred in your own heart as you've read about how that individual prayed? Men like John Knox. John Knox was a great man of prayer. John Knox repeated and repeated the words vehemently, give me Scotland or I die. Or men like Jonathan Edwards. Did you ever read about Jonathan Edwards? The great evangelist, the great man of God, the great man of prayer, who recorded in his own diary these words. His stated seasons of prayer, private prayer, were from his youth, three times a day in his journeys as well as at home. Or Andrew Bonner. Andrew Bonner, of whom it was said, the more he prayed, the more he felt the need of praying. And who can forget Robert Murray McShane? You ever read about McShane? Andrew Bonner wrote the biography of Robert Murray McShane. It has become a bestseller. And every person I have spoken to who has read the life of McShane, the life of McShane as written by Andrew Bonner, they've all been greatly impressed. And it says it so searches your heart that you wonder even are you a Christian at all in the light of how McShane lived. McShane, we're told, rose early to seek God. And found him, he said, whom my soul loveth. McShane said, who would not rise early to meet such company? My, when you read the lives of these men, really your heart is stirred. You read about their prayer lives. We turn to the scriptures and we read about Samuel. Samuel was a man of prayer. Would his life of prayer not stir us? So I'd love to be a man of prayer like Samuel or David or Daniel or Paul or Hannah. Surely when we read the lives of these men and women, we're stirred in their own hearts to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray like David. Teach me to pray like Samuel. Teach me to pray like John Knox or Andrew Bonner or Jonathan Edwards or Murray McShane. The disciples came upon the Lord in prayer. And they were indeed greatly stirred as they listened to the Lord pray. And surely there is no one, who can be a greater inspiration to us in the business of praying than our Lord Jesus Christ. No one surely can inspire us, stir us up more than the Lord Jesus when we consider, as we have been doing, consider his prayer life. And having studied the prayer life of Christ over the past few months, will we not be stirred like this disciple then to say, Lord, teach me to pray? Let us consider these words then this morning with the Lord's help. And first of all, let us consider the Savior in the place of prayer. The Savior in the place of prayer was nothing unusual. Wasn't anything out of the ordinary. Because the Lord Jesus, as we know and have seen, spent a great deal of time of his public ministry in the place of prayer. We notice in this occasion the time. Look at how the chapter begins. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, it came to pass. What came to pass? A specific time is not mentioned here, but a period of time has passed when the Lord goes to this certain place to pray. Certain time has passed. Certain events have taken place, following which the Lord Jesus went to prayer. Now, we're not told what he was praying about, as we've said, or what he was praying for. But would it be beyond the realm of possibility that he was praying over what had recently taken place, what had recently come to pass? And we just look into the previous chapter and see there what had come to pass. I wonder, was the Lord praying for those 70 disciples? We read about them there in Luke 10 and verse 20. The Lord had sent them out and they came back again and reported to the Lord all they had done. And they were rejoicing that they were able to tread on serpents and scorpions, and they had power over the enemy. And The Lord said to them, notwithstanding this, rejoice not, verse 20, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Wonder, was he praying for the 70 disciples? Wonder, was he praying that they would rejoice more in what Christ had done for them? That indeed their names were written in heaven, rather than rejoice over what they had done and what they had accomplished. Who knows? Maybe that's what the Lord was praying about. That was something that had come to pass. Or maybe he was praying over a certain lawyer, who, tempting him, asked him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And was the Lord praying about that lawyer? Or maybe on the other hand, he was praying for Martha. That's how the chapter 10 ends. Mary and Martha entertain the Savior, but Martha complains because her sister Mary has left her to serve alone. And the Lord had to say to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Wonder, was the Lord praying for Martha? And it came to pass. These things had come to pass. And who knows, the Lord was perhaps in that certain place, praying about those things that had come to pass. Now, whenever we come to the Lord in prayer, we usually pray about things in the future. We usually ask for blessing tonight or tomorrow. We ask the Lord to be with us tomorrow in some plans that we have drawn up, that everything would go well. But what about the past? What about those things that have come to pass? There are certain things I'm sure we need to pray about, as the Lord perhaps prayed for that lawyer or those disciples or Martha. I want you to notice also, as well as the time, we notice the trend. Here we once again find the Savior in the place of prayer, which of course was a trend throughout his public ministry. As God, he was prayed to, but as man, he prayed. That was the trend of his public ministry. He was a man of prayer. He was always seemed to be in the place of prayer. He prayed at his baptism. Luke 5:16, he withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Luke 6:12. Then we are told that he was alone praying. Luke 9:18. And in that mountain of his transfiguration, he had gone there to pray. It was the trend seen in his life and in his ministry. And here he is in Luke 11:1. As he was praying in a certain place, and reminded of the words of David in Psalm 109:4. There we read, but I give myself unto prayer. If ever a man gave himself unto prayer, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the trend in his life. A trend that was so prominent and pronounced in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. A trend that is not so prevalent today. Here the disciples were in the school of prayer, ready to be taught and instructed in the art of praying. Where would you see such a thing today? Such events would be few and far between. The trends in churches today are more to do with music programs. That's the trend today. More and more people that you meet with, Christians from other denominations, they say the same thing. We have to cater for the young people, so we must change our music program. We have to bring in some drums and cymbals and guitars and all the rest of it. That's the trend. Would those churches not be better served if they developed the trend to give more time to prayer and seeking the face of God? That's the trend today. Music programs, drama, seminars on this and that and the other thing. The trend is today to remove the prayer meeting. That's the trend of today. Remove the prayer meeting and put something more attractive, more appealing in its place. Sad day. Whenever you remove the prayer meeting. But that's the trend today. Far removed from the trend that was evident in Christ's ministry. Christ was a man of prayer. I want you to notice the toil. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So the Savior went to a certain place to pray. And we know from this verse 1 that he was toiling in prayer. He hadn't gone there to say his prayers. But when the disciples came upon the Lord Jesus, he was toiling, he was wrestling in prayer. I know that from that word, ceased. It says when he ceased. Luke uses that word in another place, over in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, the Lord is with the disciples in the Galilee, and the storm has blown up and they think they're going to perish. And we read in Luke 8 verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. Same word. And there was a calm. So the same word is used to describe the calm after the storm. Does this not give us an indication of how the Savior was praying in that certain place? Was it not that that so impressed and inspired this disciple? As he and the others listened to the Lord wrestling in prayer, just like the wind and the sea wrestling. And then the wind ceased. There was the calm after the storm. And here's the Lord, and it says when he ceased. There's the calm after the storm. And indeed that word ceased is a word that refers to someone taking a rest after hard labor. Gives us an indication how Christ was praying. And as they listened to them pray, They had never heard praying like this before. And so they were prompted to say, Lord, teach us to pray. It was as if they were saying, or this disciple was saying, Lord, we know nothing about prayer in the light of what we have heard. So, Lord, teach us to pray. They'd never wrestled in prayer as they had heard Christ wrestle that day. They'd never striven like Christ in prayer. They'd never toiled like Christ in prayer. And that's why he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Paul told the saints at Rome how he wanted them to pray. He said this, and now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. It's quite an argument, isn't it? For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Will you do this for Christ? Will you do this for the love of the Spirit? That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Will you do it for Christ? Will you strive together with me for me? That word strive. That word strive means to agonize. To agonize in prayer. Paul says, will you do this for the Lord's sake? Will you agonize with me? In other words, Paul was saying that that's how he prayed. He agonized in prayer. Will you join me, Paul says? Will you agonize in prayer with me? Will you do it for Christ's sake? I believe that's how Christ was praying in that certain place when the disciples came upon their Lord. And that's why they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So there's the Savior in the place of prayer. We next notice the Savior was petitioned about prayer. Having listened to the Savior pray, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. They certainly had asked the right person about the matter of prayer. Here we see Christ, first of all, as the instructor of his disciples. They were seeking instruction, and the Lord was the one who would instruct them. They gathered around him, as it were, like children around the feet of a teacher, saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord is about to give them instruction. Here we have the expert instructor. Christ was an expert in prayer. This world is filled with experts. Experts in all kinds of fields. Experts in medicine, experts in technology, experts in engineering, experts in education. But the disciples came to one who's an expert in all things. If you want to use the word expert, Christ is an expert in all things. There's nothing that he is lacking in knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God stronger than men. And man today thinks he's wiser and has more knowledge than God. Thinks he can do things better than the Lord. Well, here Paul, writing under inspiration, says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man. So in all things, Christ is an expert. We see from his public ministry, read the Gospels, and you'll see that he is a medical expert. You'll see that he's an educational expert. You'll see that he's a theological expert. He's an expert in geology, physiology, sociology, and every other ology you care to name. He's an expert in them all. And there's no one more expert in prayer than the Lord Jesus. No one knows better than God, and Christ is God. He's man. And he's a man who knew how to pray. The disciples wanted to be instructed in the matter of prayer. But Christ himself did not need any instruction, did not need any teaching. For he is an expert in the praying business. They've come to the right person and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not only is he an expert instructor, he's an experienced instructor. No one has more experience in the business of prayer than the Lord Jesus. No one has more experience in the business of prayer than Christ, because he's praying now. He's seated at the Father's right hand, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's experienced in prayer. He's an experienced instructor. Anything you need to know about prayer, Christ has experienced it. If you want to know about all night prayer meetings, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know what it is to pray alone, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know what it is to agonize and wrestle in prayer, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know how to maintain the habit of prayer, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know how to pray when you're suffering, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know how to pray for your enemies, Christ can instruct you. If you want to know how to pray for souls, Christ can instruct you. He's an experienced instructor. He's an experienced in all these aspects of prayer. Couldn't have gone to a better person. Let us go to him. Let us say, Lord, teach us to pray. You'll notice, first of all, as we have noticed, the instructor of the disciples, and then we notice the individual disciple. For it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples, said unto him. He was an individual disciple. Regarding this individual, notice first of all his patience. You read those words again, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said. When he ceased. In other words, this disciple did not interrupt the Lord when he was praying. This disciple and his fellow disciples stood there. That's what gives me the idea that they came upon the Lord in prayer. And they heard him pray, and they watched him as he wrestled and toiled in prayer. And they waited until he ceased. Why, they would never dream of interrupting him. Because he was praying. Whenever we pray, or we hear someone else pray, we bow our heads. We never think of carrying on a conversation with the person next to us when we hear somebody praying. Because we have respect, show respect. So it was with these disciples. They showed respect. They stood there quietly listening. That's why whenever prayer is offered here in our services and indeed all our churches, the door is closed. Because we don't want people walking in the middle of the prayer. Wait till the prayer has finished. As these disciples did, they waited until Christ had finished. Then he spoke. That's why we bow our heads. That's why we're quiet and still when we pray or someone else is praying. And here this disciple was patient, patiently waiting till the Lord had finished praying. And then we notice his passion for prayer. Why else would he utter these words, Lord, teach us to pray, if he didn't want to know more about prayer? Evidently, he was aware that there was something lacking in his prayer life. The Lord Jesus expected these disciples to pray, because the next verse he says, and when ye pray, not if ye pray. And so they were praying, men, all right. But after listening to Christ praying, they could see there was something lacking in their prayer life. There was something missing. And this one disciple was probably concerned that his prayer life was not what it ought to be and what it should be. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Let me refer to dear Dr. Andrew Bonner again. Andrew Bonner had a passion for prayer. He gave at least 2 hours every day to seeking the face of the Lord. Sometimes he would have whole days of prayer and fasting. So he had a passion for prayer. Andrew Bonner once said, now in light of the fact that he would have 2 hours of prayer at least every day and days of prayer, Andrew Bonner said this, last night, in reviewing the past time, nothing shamed me more than the sin of praying little. When we might ask in Christ's name so much and receive so much. He went on to say, hours without God have been to me hours of no delight and no strength. Hours without prayer have been like hours without God. He had a passion for prayer. Oh, how many Christians today are as passionate about prayer as dear Andrew Bonner was. Is there not some area of our prayer life that would give us concern? I don't pray as often as I should. I don't pray as earnestly and sincerely as I should. I just don't pray as I should. Lord, teach me to pray. Notice also in these words, the priority was prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. He made prayer the priority. He was one of the Lord's disciples. He was one of the Lord's servants, and he wanted to know more about prayer. He didn't ask how he could work miracles. He didn't say, Lord, teach me to work miracles. He didn't say, Lord, teach me how to gather great crowds. He didn't say, Lord, teach me how I can be more eloquent. No. He said, Lord, teach me to pray. That was the priority. And if he knew more about prayer, then he would see the other things take place. May we be like this disciple and endeavor with the Lord's help to know more about prayer and make it a priority. But then looking closer at this verse of scripture, you notice this one disciple spoke. And in what he said, he included the others. Then one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. He's not only speaking for himself, but he is speaking on behalf of the other disciples. He knew that after seeing the Lord and listening to the Lord and watching the Lord agonize and toil in prayer, that it would be good of all the disciples prayed like this. So he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Believer, what could we accomplish for God if you and I, including myself, knew how to pray as the Savior prayed? There's no telling what could be accomplished. Prayer that causes Satan to tremble. Prayer that opens heaven's windows. Prayer that moves mountains. Prayer that shakes the gates of hell. Prayer that raises Lazarus from the dead. Prayer that calls down fire from heaven. Would you not like to pray like that? I would. Think of what we all could see accomplished if we had more faith in prayer, more fervency in our prayers, more fullness in our prayers. reading C.H. Spurgeon the other day. Spurgeon said, "Oh, for 500 Elijahs, each one upon his Carmel, crying unto God, and we should soon have the clouds bursting with showers. Oh, for more prayer, more constant, incessant prayer, then the blessing would rain upon us." Words of C.H. Spurgeon, a mighty preacher and a mighty man of prayer. Finally, we have the Savior and his partner in prayer. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" So John was also a man of prayer. John, the forerunner of Christ. John, who prepared the way of the Lord, was a man of prayer. And here we see in this Luke 11 and verse 1, his testimony. His testimony. We see from these words that John the Baptist was known as a man of prayer. Those who knew him as a man of prayer. Daniel was known as a man of prayer. Hezekiah was known as a man of prayer. Hannah was known as a woman of prayer. So was David, Abraham, and Paul. These men may have been great leaders and done great things in other areas, but the common denominator is they were known as men and women of prayer. Our sister, Mrs. K. McKercher, went home to be with the Lord there a few weeks ago. And at her memorial service, various things were said about Kay. But what was said on a number of occasions during the service and afterwards in conversation was, "We have lost a prayer warrior. We have lost a woman of prayer." What a testimony. John the Baptist had this testimony. He was known as a man of prayer. May we bear the same testimony. And then you have his teaching. In this sense, John the Baptist partnered Christ in teaching his disciples about prayer. The Lord was about to teach his disciples as John had also taught his. Now, of course, the Lord's disciples would receive better teaching upon the subject than John's disciples. Nevertheless, John saw the need to teach his followers about prayer. In fact, that was one of the distinguishing features of John's ministry and that of his disciples. Luke 5, verse 33. The Lord was asked one day, "Why do the disciples John, the disciples of John fast often and make prayers?" So they were known for their praying. So as John saw it as his duty to teach his followers about prayer, it is my duty also It is every minister's duty to deal with the subject and to instruct the congregations and instruct God's people. If you like, be a partner with Christ, for he instructed his disciples. So it is our duty to do the same. John taught his disciples. The Savior taught his disciples. And I will endeavor to do the same. And together, as minister and congregation, we can go to the feet of Jesus and say together, Lord, teach me to pray. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving and gracious Father, once again we bless Thee for this word that shines the spotlight upon the Lord Jesus. And what a blessed and lovely picture we have of Christ. Oh, what must it have been to stand there in that certain place and listen to the mediator pray, to watch him wrestle in prayer. Oh, gracious Lord, we have much to learn. I have much to learn about prayer. O gracious Lord, teach me to pray. Be our instructor. Thou art the expert. Thou hast the experience. So Lord, teach us to pray. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would write Thy holy word upon our hearts.